to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time. Tonight, I'm joined in the podcast booth by Stove Crew number 5. Stove Crew numero 5, I'm going to have them introduce themselves, starting with Brooke.
I'm Brooke Fonseca from Sunnyvale, California.
Lydia Fonseca from Sunnyvale, California.
Andrew Phillips from Seals Grove, Pennsylvania.
Quinn Fonseca from Sunnyvale, California.
Lady and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So today was our Sabbath day, day of rest. We don't do work projects on Saturday. We generally allow that time to rest, have our crew leaders have their only day of rest, and give you opportunity to check out the country and do some tourism. What did you do today? What did you guys do?
Ziplining. Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Was there 13?
12.
Oh, 12. There's 12 different zip lines at El Tanador, and it just opened, so it was really cool.
Really?
Yeah.
So describe El Tanador and why it's really cool.
It's a restaurant on a hill, like a mountain. And you take this tram bus up the mountain, and then there's eating and a little market area and ziplining. And
there's really a museum as well.
Oh, yeah, museum.
And it overlooks the city of Antigua. Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous. And you had a beautiful day today, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was really pretty.
No rain or pretty clear overall. Clayton, did you do that also?
Yes.
How was it, man?
It was awesome.
Was it? What was your favorite part?
Probably the Superman, when you lay on your stomach and go down.
It's a Superman zipline. You lay on your stomach. How does that work?
It's like a harness and
it clips to your back.
Yeah.
They have a special harness that clips
on your
back.
They clip your feet too, so you don't have to hold them up.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard of anything like that. That sounds really cool.
That one's almost half a mile long too. It's just huge, just over those really huge areas.
Really high.
It's like 500, 400 meters.
I think like 300 meters or so. Yeah, it's high. It's a.
You can actually going over the valley. See the cable from here. From our hotel, you look up towards El Tanador and you see the cable spanning a small canyon that's in the side of the mountain.
Holy cow. That sounds way fun.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And there was how many different runs?
12.
12 different. So how does that work? You go, they're all downhill, right? So you go down to one and then you have a choice of?
No. You get on it and you go down and you go to a platform. They hook you up into the next one. And it's not all the way down. You can just kind of like straight across. And then there's a couple you have to climb up a ladder, stairs. So
yeah, there's every now and then you kind of have to go back up so that you can have some length to go down again. But it's kind of a loop all the way around, a tour almost, that you'll go down and then climb up a ladder to the next one, then go down and then climb up a mountainside to the next one. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Was it something that if people were coming, they would need to be in pretty good physical shape in order to do the climbing, or is it pretty?
It's more nerve-wracking than anything. The one was a ladder that was maybe 30 feet up. That was the one nerve-wracking one. I mean,
that
you're clipped
was
in.
The most scariest thing.
But you have gloves on that make it so slippery.
Yeah,
I mean, this ladder is pretty skinny and really.
It's straight up.
But I mean, the whole experience. Well, ladders tend to be. No, it was definitely worth it. But and I mean, shape wise, I think most people could do it. I mean, it's a little challenging sometimes, but mostly for the nerve factor rather than physical factor.
There are some height and weight restrictions. I don't know the details on that, but to do the Superman where you're clipped in on your back, you have to be
under 190.
Under 190 pounds.
You can still do that zip line and just
you just
sit.
Can't go the laying down. You just have to sit.
Oh, you can sit and take the trip, just not laying down. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why.
We believe them. Yeah.
Take their word for it.
Yeah. And this just opened. When? A couple months?
Apparently this week.
This week? Wow. Mm-hmm. How fun.
Yeah.
We're walking back and Hyrule's like, yeah, they opened it this week. And all those people, they're still learning how to clip everything. I'm like, oh, good to know. Now.
Yeah, if you've done it. Oh, it's great to know. If you're ever coming to Antigua, Guatemala, go to El Tenedor de Cerro, which is a restaurant at the top of the hill owned by Santo Domingo, the five-star hotel here in Guatemala, and 16th century monastery that was converted into a hotel and restaurant. And take the, how about that ride going up there?
It's fun.
Yeah, that's an experience in itself. It's like an open air, almost like safari bus with like a little canopy over top, and going up the side of the mountain, you get beautiful views all around, and that, I mean, and totally free, and that was an experience in itself.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts, just going to the restaurant. So what kind of food did you eat today? Today was your chance to go experiment with food from Antigua, Guatemala. Eat anything interesting?
Well, I ate at Doña Luisa, the what's the name? Bakery? English word I had to think of.
Panaderia?
Panaderia. That was kind of like our middle of the day continuous meal was, got some ridiculously delicious, like, homemade vanilla bread with macadamia nuts and these cinnamon buns. I don't even know what they were, but they were just fantastic, and that was good. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, we ran out of time to eat at El Tenedor, so we went down the mountain and went to the bakery, so it was good.
Uh-huh. Get some bread. Get anyone get any ice cream?
I had a bite of someone else's. It was pretty good. Yeah.
Good, right?
Yeah.
Wow. It's a little secret. Yeah. Well, not anymore, yeah, I guess. No. Some of the best ice cream in Antigua is at the bakery, La Doña Luisa. And I highly recommend the banana split if you have room. But they're big. What else do you eat? Burke, do you do anything interesting today?
Well, after seeing my kids off on the zip line, I went up and joined the rest of the group at El Tenedor, and they just finished eating. And so I got their leftovers, some granola and yogurt and a cup of coffee. And it was perfect because I had the breakfast that was served here at, the Candelaria Hotel. And then we did some shopping and things like that. The group I was with, they went to have ice cream at Doña Luisa. And I wasn't hungry, so I didn't have any. And then we went to the restaurant at Santo Domingo, and excellent food.
What did you order?
I usually don't order an appetizer, but this time I had the pumpkin and red bean soup. It was amazing. Had pumpkins, roasted pumpkin seeds in it, and had a little bit of curry. It was just an experience. And then for my main course, I had the, what do they call it? The plato chapin, which is the Guatemalan steak, rice, beans, guacamole, and tortillas, and it was outstanding.
Fantastic. Brooke, you're a coffee connoisseur. Did you have a chance to taste some coffees at different places today, or not so much?
No, I did not. We were pretty much on the move, and I had coffee at El Tenedor, and it was a very good cup of coffee. And I had three cups in the morning, so I was coffeed out. But I did buy a pound of coffee from Mako that supports Paso El Paso, and I haven't drank it yet, but just smelling the beans, I'm very excited for it.
You can tell just by smelling it.
Yeah.
You know what what they did to those beans.
You can tell they're grown well. They have a very nice aromatic to them. It's not just a coffee smell. There's some sweetness and a little bit of... I can sense there's some acidity in the coffee. And I'm hoping to get a little bit of floral aspect in the cup once I brew it. So
I don't know anything about coffee, but I can tell you it's some of the best coffee I've ever had. Mm-hmm. I mean, just from a consumer point of view, I've had his coffee, and I think it's amazing. Now, I like strong coffee. That's about as descriptive as I get. It's strong or it's weak. And his is, I mean, the way it was brewed was pretty strong, and I just thought it was fantastic. So I hope it delivers for you.
I'm sure it will.
Speaking of pasta, that's where we worked this week. Want to touch on that a little bit. You built some stoves. You did VBS. We heard a little bit about VBS from the VBS podcast. Tell me about this village. You all worked in Aguacate last year or last week in Andrew's case, where we Ogra Miguel Magone is. It's a little bit different. Tell me some of the differences in the village itself, maybe the people, maybe their customs. What did you notice that was different? Anything surprise you or was surprisingly common from Aguacate?
The terrain. In Aguacate, the terrain is much more hilly. I just always remember either walking up or walking down and very rarely walking level. And here at Paso Paso, it seemed to be more urban. It's a lot of the stoves we did were in town, where at Aguacate they were in a village, more of a village rural setting, and we did do a few treks uphill to install a stove, but not as many as Aguacate. And one other thing that I noticed was some of the greetings were different. Here in Paso a Paso, it was either hola or buenos dias. And I noticed last year that in Aguacate, sometimes they would say lo dia. It just was real simple, lo dia. And it was almost a mumble, you know. Hmm. Whereas we're walking down the street, you'd hear more often hola or buenos dias, you know. And Aguacate was like, lo dia. Yeah, and it was that was just an aspect mm-hmm. that I picked up.
Cool.
The kids here are definitely more reserved, I think. At Ogra Miguel, they're crazy and, like, jump on you and, like, pull you everywhere. These kids are just kind of, like, stand there, smile, you play with them, but it's definitely different, so.
Clayton, you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you notice anything different? Anything stand out for you?
Yeah, like what you said, they're a lot more shy. They have to warm up to you.
Mm. I noticed by the end of the day they had warmed up pretty well because you were giving piggyback rides around the entire sports court multiple times. I couldn't tell if they were different passengers or if it was the same person.
Mainly, there's only like two then one older girl. Yeah. Mostly Jorge and this boy. I don't know his name, but he always comes and talks to me, even though I can't understand him.
Jorge, the famous Jorge?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how did that come about? Now, this is interesting to me because you don't speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. Or do you know a little bit?
Like a couple words.
Yet you seem to communicate just fine with a lot of the kids. Did you feel that way too?
I guess so, but...
You wish you could speak more. We all do. I've been studying the language for 8 years. I wish I knew more. But how did the horseback rides come about?
I mainly just kind of picked up Jorge one time, and then that's how they started.
You just took off.
Yeah.
That was very popular, because I... You went around and around. Wow.
I think at one point, half the team had kids on their back running around the court. It was just...
Well, and it kind of started from the very first day, from Monday, and Jesse and Hyder were lifting up the kids, and then the rest of the week, every kid would run up to you, Levanta, Levanta, and just want to be picked up and everything. And just there were lines. Like, they would form lines to be picked up and swirled around, and it was just... They're very into that.
It was a very active VBS, we mentioned. I mean, you guys were all full on, full contact.
Yeah.
Yep. That was fun. Really fun to watch. And I know it was fun for them. And great smiles. If you go to nowisthetimeformissions.com, click on the photos menu and go to Paso Paso, you'll see Amber took some great pictures of you guys.
Yes.
During VBS. Let's go back to the homes, to the families. Any families stand out for you? Any stove installations stand out as a memory for you?
Well, I'd say the two the last day. I think both of those really stood out, especially. The one was with Marta, I believe that was. Mm-hmm. Her name was Candelaria, which was kind of ironic, but it's the name of our hotel. But she had all of these kids there, and they were all, so interested in what we were doing. And they were just, like, watching us, like, from around the corner and kind of, like, peeking in and everything. And they were, and she was just so gracious and so kind and just really, really sweet. And then the next house that same day, that one was Gavino. And he was also, just super friendly. And when we got to the house, we had completely run out of wedges. Like, our whole group, our whole mission ran out of the wedges for these stoves. And we asked, like, hey, do you have, like, some piece of wood we can use? He said, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And he went back and cut these wedges that were perfect. I mean, like, the great, it took maybe, like, 2 minutes. And, like, he had these, like, beautiful, like, perfect wedges for us. And
sorry to say they rivaled the wedges that were, or maybe surpassed the other wedges we've been installing. They were very nice.
Wow.
And so both were just like, they were just so welcoming, and, you know, I got into a good conversation with Gavino about, like, where I live and where he lives, and it was just, that was just really cool to have that kind of connection. A few of the families went to were, like, not particularly talkative or just kind of shy and understated. We had a lot of older couples that were, you know, just them and like, appreciated our company, of course, and had some conversation, but just not to the same degree where these guys just, you know, we just went with it and just kept going and going, and that was really cool. Any stand out to you guys?
I think it was the day before
Thursday. I think.
Yeah, was her name Elisa or something? Oh. And she's the one who gave us a little snack when we were there. Was that the day before? Or was anyhow? We did a stove, and again, just super hospitable. Just was so glad we were there. Was even helping us a little bit with the installation. We were trying to cut the hole for the stove pipe, and the corrugated steel was not attached. So the first time, the first strike of the hammer, and the whole thing shifted, and so I stood on one end of the stove and held the piece of they call it laminate, and she was on the outside of the building on the other end holding it, and everybody, I mean, a bunch of little kids, and it was a really warm experience, just. Yeah, there was a connection there, and I got to talk about my family, and she was very interested in asking me questions. I needed Andrew's help with the Spanish, because my Spanish is very, very, very limited. But again, it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, that was Marta.
And, was that Marta?
Yeah,
okay.
And she had made us tamales. And, you know, at first she was saying, like, after we finished, she said, she has, like, some orange juice, like, and I'm like, oh, no, we're fine, we'll just go back to Paso Paso. And I didn't see that her daughter had glasses of orange juice already, so like, okay, yeah, we'll sit. And then they brought us out these tamales on the plates, and they're like, no, just sit right here, you're like, and it was just so amazing.
They got tears for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, there were all these kids there, and, like, it was everybody and their best friend was there from the area, and all these kids together, and, I mean, they were just really, so it was... Again, they were making such a big fuss about us, you know, giving us all these things and everything, and it was just really humbling to see them. And they were really, really friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that was an especially nice one.
Mm-hmm.
Brooke, you've brought your family. This is the second year you've been to Guatemala.
Yes.
And well, half your family has has been able to join you. I'm always curious. We love when people come for the first time. We really love it when they come a second time, especially if they share the same vision that we do, which obviously you guys do. But I never know why people come back. And I suppose it's different for each person, but it's a huge sacrifice for a whole family to come back. That's a big chunk of time, of finances, of gathering donations, etc. Why did you guys come back?
I mainly have come both times for my kids. When I was young, I had the experience of going on many missions trips to the point where I was addicted to going on missions trips. And then the Lord said, it's time for you to stay home. And I didn't go on a single trip. I barely left my immediate location for about 20 years. And we met you. Well, first we met Stuart Nice and his family at Valley Life Center. And they introduced us to you and your mission. And when my kids were old enough, Lydia and Clayton, they're like, Dad, we really, really want to go. And so with some prayer, my wife and I said, okay, I will take them so they can have this experience. And now they're hooked and they want to come. And we did the same thing this year. We prayed about it. Should we go? And Lydia and Clayton are like, why wouldn't we go?
I wanted to come back the day I got back.
Yeah.
I got back like, oh gosh, I'm going to wait a whole year to come back.
Yeah.
You and Andrew share that, yeah, actually. Yeah. We got an email from Andrew a couple days after he came back and said, hey, if you're going next summer, I want to come for the whole summer. Yeah. We'll put you on the list.
Yeah. But so really for me, I mean, I love being a part of this. I love working. I love helping. I love seeing lives changed. And it's not for not wanting to come. It's, you know, I feel fulfilled having done what I've done in missions work, but now I'm feeling like it's my turn to hand the baton off, so to speak, to my kids and give them the experience. And so as long as they want to go and they need a chaperone, here I am. Mm-hmm. And my wife shares the same vision, even though we're really trying to figure out how to get her to come next year. Mm-hmm. That'll take some finagling of resources and all that, but... Mm-hmm. I think she would enjoy it equally as much as we do.
Lydia, you were here for 2 weeks this year. Tell us about that decision, why you wanted to come for 2 weeks, and how you did fundraising, and what this two-week experience is like compared to a week last year.
Well, I definitely wanted to come for the first week because I made some connections there and want to see all the kids again. And then my dad and brother were thinking about coming the second week. And I was like, well, can I come for both weeks? And then I sent out support letters. And I was like, I hope I get all the money. It's a lot of money. But then I did. So I was thankful for that. So. Mm-hmm.
And what's it like being here for 2 weeks as opposed to just one?
It's a little longer, but it goes by fast. I was like, oh, wow, I'm leaving tonight. That's crazy. But, yeah, I don't know. I just love it here, so it was good.
Well, we love having you here.
Oh, thank you.
And Andrew, you said, like I said last year, you said, "Hey, let me know when you're going again. When you decide you want to come back, tell us about this week and this year. I guess you're in a leadership role as opposed to being a crew member last year. What are some of the differences?" And some of the things that surprised you about that?
Well, I mean, kind of coming back, the first time, everything's new. And you just see everything, and wow, this is like all these things, you know, looking around, paying attention to everything. And then now it's kind of more like, okay, I've seen it and want to try to give that experience to everyone else. And so still get to experience it, still get to be a part of it. And now it's familiar and it kind of have gotten to know it, like getting around Antigua today. We just kind of like explored and remembering where everything was and kind of knowing the deal beforehand. It's very different because not everything's not all of a sudden it's a surprise or like this thing that spontaneously happened. It's this thing that all the planning in the world went into. So that's definitely a big change. Kind of having that responsibility and putting the planning into it, not just kind of going along for the ride. But also, being here for longer, that made such a big difference in that I kind of, like, put some roots down. Like, last time it was, like, unpacked my bags and all of a sudden it's, oh, Sunday, let's go. Like, it just went by so quickly that didn't really get time to, you know, get to know, like Luis and Roxana and, like, some of the people who accompany us. But now I've really gotten to know them a lot better and get to know just kind of all the people involved a lot better, as well as get to know the people who have been here for 2 weeks also. That
yeah, we had quite a big group that stayed for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Almost half of the group stayed for 2 weeks. And that's fun to build those relationships even among our volunteers mm-hmm. And crew members. Where did you see God this week? Do you remember a special moment, a person, an experience that you felt this is the fingerprint of God?
Well, one thing that I can really think of is one of the stoves that we were putting in is a much older couple. And the man was just sitting in the chair the whole time. He would like say a couple words, but not really say anything. And the woman explained to us a little bit later, like, oh, he's blind. He can't see anything. And it was really it was interesting because like I kind of got talking to him and got him to interact a little bit. And then I had a few jokes. We tried to start the fire because I asked if she wanted to. And she said, no, you guys can if you'd like. And that was a disaster. We're not the experts. So it went out immediately. And, so we gave them a couple extra fire starters and said, I'm really sorry. You might have to do this because we're just stupid gringos. And he was just laughing so much, and it was that was just something that really connected to this guy whose whole world was sitting on this chair, you know, in this shack on the road. And he was just that just kind of, I don't know, something about it, just that moment, he was just so powerful that he just connected with us, that we got to connect with him on that human level despite language barriers and living thousands of miles apart, that we connected with this person. That really felt like God's hand.
For me, I'm not certain it's so much a specific situation, but maybe more of a collective understanding. Because I heard in different conversations and even with our worship experience, I believe it was the second or third night, but the understanding that we only have so much to offer, like it stemmed from the gospel, the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with five fish and two loaves, and it seemed at one point or another we all came to terms with our limited resources. Either it was our language, or you know, we saw that what we're offering was very simple. You know, a stove, even though it drastically changes their lives, it is still just something simple, and we wish we could do so much more, and we have to relinquish that desire to God. But in so doing, I saw faith being built in people's lives, that they could release that and trust God to do what they couldn't do themselves. And so I just in different conversations and in things like that, and even in myself, I was just really touched with the understanding that, you know, it's okay. We do what we can do. And we trust God to do the rest. And even though I still want to do more, I feel okay going home knowing that seeds have been planted and lives have been changed. And for some, you know, a future has been established that they didn't have before. And It's just stemming from us being faithful to give what little we had to give.
Any others? Lydia? Clayton?
I just like, just seeing the kids smile, dance, sing, just like, wow, it's so beautiful. I was like, it makes me so happy. So I guess that.
Yeah, they are inspiring. They sing from the bottom of their mm-hmm. soul. And that smile that just lights up a room mm-hmm. or a village.
Yeah. And especially towards the end of the week, once they started really getting into it, and they were used to it, and I mean, they must have heard from 3 miles away, trumpet, the part of the song, and they just, yeah, that was really great, those kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we tried to, we did get some recordings, I haven't heard them yet, we did get some recordings, we're going to try and put them on the website too, because you just can't describe it, that Brooke was up front with me, and we have the best seat in the house, because they're all...
Oh, yeah.
Facing us, and so their voices are just, they just blast you. I mean, we have a sound system and everything can barely compete with
well, when we do the planned breaks in the music, and so that they can sing, there's no gaps. I mean, our music and our vocal styles, but they continue the song with gusto, and it's just coming back at us full force. It's beautiful.
That's my favorite part. When you guys stop and they still sing, it's just, you're like, wow. It's
so yeah, cool. Me too. I'm getting chills just little goosebumps thinking about that. Well, we have our closing worship for the week starting tonight. I can't believe, in some ways, I feel like this week just flew by.
It did,
yes.
It really did. And I didn't get a chance to spend much time with any of you. Even Brooke, I see him on stage every day, but it's like running, racing in and trying to get set up in time and then racing out. So if I don't get a chance to tell you, on behalf of Dom Reese, myself, the village leaders, Senor Ani and Mako, thank you. Thanks for coming to Guatemala. Thanks for coming back, all of you, to love our brothers and sisters so deeply and so fully. Thanks for your service to our Lord and to his children here, and thanks for sharing your stories on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.